morning. Welcome to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine. And usually on Dig in the Dirt, we talk about our private gardens and what we can do to make them happier, healthier, more bountiful, feed us better. And today we're going to talk about the bigger spaces that are beyond our gardens that we protect and restore because as a nation we value public spaces and semi-private spaces to be the way they were before we messed them up, before we developed them. My guests are Katie Volke, the Executive Director of the North Coast Land Conservancy, and Teresa Retzloff, who's the PR...
Development Director.
Development Director of the North Coast Land Conservancy. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, so much. Ann.
And for longtime listeners of this program, they'll recognize Teresa from Osmond Farms, which has become...
46 North Farm.
46 North Farm. Okay. And she's still a gardener, and she's in a new permutation. Okay, so the North Coast Land Conservancy does a ton of stuff, and if you're not a member, you could probably become a member and get a newsletter and keep up with the activities. But there are a lot of things going on. So let's get that. What's the overarching goal of the conservancy?
The North Coast Land Conservancy is a land trust, and so we work towards conservation and stewardship of natural lands and ecologically significant lands for the benefit of Oregonians and really all of the nation, like you were talking about.
And so how much land do you manage?
Right now, we have direct ownership of approximately 1,700 acres, and that ranges from Astoria all the way to Lincoln City. We also hold conservation easements, as well as working with community members and state parks and other agencies to facilitate. So the effect of our work is much larger than that, than just that acreage I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And then also working with landowners.
Yes, that's a key part of our mission, is to really look at stewardship of an entire area, whether it's a corridor or a stream system or a wetland system, looking at all of the ownership and everybody that can participate in that area.
Mm-hmm. And so then what are the goals for the lands that you manage?
Well, our primary goal is for them to remain healthy and functioning so that we can have a landscape on the coast that continues to provide benefit for people, plants, and wildlife.
Right. Okay. Not one to the exclusion of the other.
We try to go for balance, I think. And that's really the larger vision, is looking for that balance that sustains both communities here on the coast, but also wildlife. And I think we're getting there. You know, there's a lot of, we certainly couldn't do it all on our own with just the lands that North Coast Land Conservancy either holds or holds conservation easements on. That really takes participation from private landowners, from individuals. And that's a concept I know that North Coast Land Conservancy has really worked on along the Clatsop Plains on what we call the Neocoxy Wildlife Corridor. What's the acre? We started out with just a very small piece of land there.
Yeah, we just participated in a management agreement on just a few acres, and now we're to over a couple hundred acres for our direct management, and then work with many, many landowners, individuals, Camprelia, even some of the homeowners associations, to do things as simple as invasive species removal, or maybe as complicated as trying to totally restore prairie habitat.
And that's all on Clatsop Plains?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Sort
yeah,
of between Gearheart and Camp Rylea.
Okay,
all along there.
So two things come to mind right away. One is Scotch broom, which is like you go along and there's none, and then there's a whole field, and then there's none, and then... Is there some plan to get rid of the Scotch broom? I mean, that's the one invasive that comes to mind on the plains.
Yeah. Especially right now when it's blooming so badly.
Yeah, it is. It is very visible right now. We sponsor an event that's called Broombuster Week this time of year when the plants are in flower. It's the perfect time of year to be thinking about removing Scotch broom. And so really any time between about April and July is a great time to do it. And
so the point is to get the plants down before they set more.
Before they go to seed, Yeah. And you want to cut them off at the ground or slightly below the ground. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of research, I think, on eradicating Scotch broom. And I think for a long time it was about pulling it out. But I think what they found is that when you disturb the ground, you basically release the seeds that are already in the ground. So the idea is to disturb the ground as little as possible.
Uh-huh.
Just cut it down right at the base or even below ground level if you can get down there. Sometimes mm-hmm. it involves a chainsaw
mm-hmm.
if it's old growth Scotch broom.
Yeah.
And let it die, and you're going to be doing that for years and years. But I think you can start to get on top of it. It's not impossible. I think the feeling is that we may never be rid of Scotch broom on the coast, but we can certainly get it under control and
right.
manage it. And
okay.
that's the goal for our land.
So mm-hmm. is there another event coming up? There was one in the end of May. Is there another big like Scotch broom removal?
Well, that's something that we just sort of continue to do.
Oh, I see. It's ongoing.
Yeah, we do have some events that Teresa will mention that are coming up for other stewardship and natural history reasons.
Okay.
What we do as an organization for stewardship, especially stewardship engaging the community, is we have what we call our Fourth Saturday Volunteer Program. And so on the fourth Saturday of every month, we have a stewardship, a volunteer stewardship day on one of our lands. And we sort of pick lands all over our service area that need some help. There's usually an invasive plant problem there. And we just try and involve the public to come out and provide that much-needed manual labor to help us stay on top of some of these issues. Because some of our lands, I mean, they're very close to being self-sustaining systems. And that's really our goal, is to not have to intervene. But sometimes you just need to step in. So actually, our next event coming up is at the end of June. On June 26th, we're going to be doing ivy removal in the Skipanon area. It's a piece of land that we own in Warrenton. And all of the Fourth Saturday Volunteer Programs are from 9 to noon. So we'll be meeting around 9 o'clock at the Warrenton High School parking lot and going out and removing ivy from, and which is the property that we're going to be working on there? I'm not familiar with so much of our properties in Warrenton.
It's a lovely little forest that's just right along the Skipanon River. And so, and then it attaches to forest that's also a part of the high school. So it's a great example of where our small ownership is a piece of something bigger. And so the hope is to be able to do some ivy removal within that whole forest system, not just looking at the property boundaries.
Okay, well, I participated with Glenn Ahrens, the OSU forestry faculty around the middle school. We did an ivy pull. I think it was in May, and there were quite a number of us, and we were able to, in about a 3-hour span, do what seemed to me like a very small area. I mean, the ivy hadn't been removed from some of these trees for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, with saws and lopper. I mean, it was the first tree. Jazz and I spent a half an hour on one tree.
Mm-hmm.
To
me, that really highlights the issue that this needs to happen more frequently than
every 30 years.
That's just not possible. And if you stay on top of it, you can really make a huge difference. And again, ivy is one of those plants that we'll probably never be rid of, but we can keep it from killing the tree canopies. And that's just a great opportunity too to get out and see some of the lands that we conserve. We're going to be doing some other stuff out on the Clatsop Plains later this summer.
Wait, before we do that, let's go back to the ivy removal on the Skipanon. Can anybody come to that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think just bear in mind that it is a physical activity. It's probably a pretty wet area, and you'll need to dress appropriately.
Okay, so maybe boots?
Boots would be good. Bring gloves if you have them.
Okay, how about
we do supply
some, like,
tools.
Oh, okay. So people don't need to bring saws and loppers?
Nope.
Unless they have a favorite they want to bring along.
Yeah. Well, we do. We had some that turned out to be some of the best that were there. But yeah, the kinds of things are like, what do you call these? The kind of saws?
Like a bow saw.
Those
bow
are
saws
really great,
are good. Yeah. And nice big loppers that are long handled.
Those are great. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we had a caller who suggested Scotch broom removal with goats works very well.
Ah, yes.
I think that it can, yeah. I mean, and certainly, it would be great if we had a community herd out here on the coast. That you
right, so, okay, can I borrow that for the, you know, I'll rent the herd for a month.
And pretty much, you know, and clear, you just have to bear in mind that they'll clear everything, not just the Scotch broom.
Of course, if you have a pretty established Scotch broom, you probably don't have anything else.
That is true. And you know what's really exciting is that some of the areas where they're property that we own, I'm thinking especially of the one, the Neocoxy Forest property.
Mm-hmm.
There's a large pasture there that we're gradually, you know, trying to return to prairie, and it was just a Scotch broom forest, and that's been cut down. And the plants that are starting to come up now that the light has been released, there's some amazing native plants that are starting to pop up out of the grass that, you know, we had no idea that the seed bank was still there for them, but they were there just hiding underneath the Scotch broom. So I think if you can cut that down, there's a lot of really cool things that will show up.
Okay, so yeah. Can people bring their kids to that, to the ivy pole?
I would say it's probably most appropriate for some older, okay. older kids, maybe so high school age, teenage, junior high. Yeah, teenage. just because of using tools and
okay,
but definitely.
Yeah, and we would, and certainly if your kids are going to come, we would want there to be parental supervision.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be the kind of thing where you would just drop your kids off.
Oh no. This is
but you know,
a family,
especially for younger kids. I mean, I think that you definitely would want to be working with them, but it can be a really great experience, I think, for families, because really we want to try and encourage stewardship in all ages. You know, it would be great if all of our kids all here on the coast were growing up thinking about being stewards of this amazing landscape that we all mm-hmm. get to live in
mm-hmm.
and learning about the things that they can do in their daily lives that can really help. You know, because if you think about it, the ivy that's living on your property or the holly or whatever, there are birds that are eating the berries and then flying off to everybody else's property, you know, North Coast Land Conservancy included, and sowing that seed. And so the more that we keep invasives under control in all of our lives, the better stewards we are of the entire coast. You're really doing a favor to the entire coast when you chop down the invasives in your garden.
That's a good point. Okay, so there's some really cool things happening. Early July, about July 12th, Mill Pond Adventure. That
actually,
looks like...
Yeah. Can I just get... Actually, it's on July 10th, which is a Saturday. That was my one big typo in this newsletter.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, we have a great program at the Mill Ponds in Seaside. It's a sort of a discovery day. Sort of bring your rubber boots, and we'll have buckets and dip nets and seine nets. And Mike Patterson and Lee Kane will be there. We're just exploring everything that lives in a pond. It was so cool last year with the amazing things we pulled up out of the pond to look at. Very hands-on, great for kids and families.
Kids of all ages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just that whole, you know, I mean, I don't think kids get to just muck about in a pond these mm-hmm. days and just figure out what's there, and it was so much fun, and nobody fell in last year. It was great. There was a little damp, but there was no major disasters. It was a lot of fun. That's a great one. We're really excited about the pollinator program we have later in July. On July 24th, we're going to be doing a tour out on the Clatsop Plains.
Mm-hmm, around in the Surf Pines area.
Looking at pollinators that work the wildflowers there.
Now, there's something else happening on July 24th.
Yeah, you know, some of our stewardship days and our Gateway to Discovery programs happen on the same days. So we try to make them happen in the same place so people could do a little stewardship and then also go to the more sort of educational tour program. So also on the 24th, we're going to be doing tansy ragwort removal at Neocoxia Estates. And tansy ragwort is another one of those nasty invasive plants that just is very painful and is all over. And that's a plant pull.
The beauty of tansy removal is that it's about as easy as plucking carrots, and so it's quite rewarding to remove that one.
Yeah, you can have a lot done in a short space of time.
Mm-hmm. And so this is in Surf Pines.
Yeah, that would be. And the one that I think is going to be really cool at the end of August, we own some land out at the Twilight Eagle Sanctuary out on the Columbia River, and there's a lot of problems with purple loosestrife out at that property, and so this is a chance to visit that property, which you don't really get to go to unless it's with people from North Coast Land Conservancy.
Mm-hmm.
And does this involve boats?
This likely involves canoes. We'll have to be monitoring the tides to see just how we're going to access these channels along the Columbia. But I think it'll be an exciting one with big boots and canoes.
That's going to be a really fun one. I've pulled purple loosestrife out of a canoe and from a canoe, and it's fun, but it's beautiful down there. It's a really beautiful place.
I've never done it from a canoe, but I have certainly done it from the shore.
Yeah,
and they are tough.
Yeah,
you need a shovel.
Yeah, we have a bunch of picks that actually we had a very generous supporter donate from our wish list 10 of the most amazing tools for specifically for attacking purple loosestrife from a canoe. We're very excited to break in.
So people, I'm imagining this thing. I'm in the canoe, and the canoe is kind of bobbing, and I'm smacking, and I'm in the water.
I don't think we've lost anybody.
I have
yet.
Never experienced anyone falling in. Oh. So knock on wood, but it's amazing how stable a canoe really is.
Okay, I'm just, yeah, it's swinging a thing. I'd rather be so.
We'll mention that the channels are quite shallow. If that did happen, you could probably still stand up.
Right,
and
right.
Everyone's wearing a life vest.
Okay, oh, that makes it even harder to work. All right, we're having a one-day pledge drive today, which is to raise enough money. There's a timeline on raising enough money to increase the wattage of KCPB. It's only got 12 watts right now, and we're going to boost it up to 400. We don't need that much money, but if you call and add to your membership, or if you're not a member, please, this would be a great time to join. Call 503-325-0010. You can help with this effort. One thing to think of is that this program and all the public affairs programs are repeated in the evenings at 8:30 on KCPB. I want to thank Carolyn in Astoria for her renewal and Jan in Portland, who is a new member, and you can join them. Anyone who calls gets entered in a drawing, and there's a package for the Astoria Music Festival, a stay for two at the Cannery Pier Hotel. Oh, on June 26th. It's a very particular, so it's during the festival. A $25 gift certificate for the Bridgewater Bistro and a pair of tickets for any of the Astoria Music Festival concerts. Welcome back. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Katie Volke, the Executive Director of the North Coast Land Conservancy, and Teresa Retzloff, the Development Director of North Coast Land Conservancy.
It's a mouthful, I know.
It is a mouthful. Okay, and we're talking about projects and events happening over the summer. Okay, so let's see. We are up to the end. Oh, we're up to August. So tell us the August events.
Well, August, actually, our event is so popular that it is sold out. We do have this really cool event where we partner with the Lower Nehalem Community Trust. And it's there's a train that runs between
Garibaldi and Wheeler.
And Wheeler. It's a steam train. It's an open-air steam train. And our two land trusts get together, and we book the train for the evening, and we have a ride back and forth between Garibaldi and Wheeler. With a speaker, and it's one of those amazing events, and I feel badly even telling you about it because there is a price for it, and it's completely sold out. It sold out in a day and a half, I think. So just as a heads up for anyone who's interested in going on our Riding the Coastal Edge trip next year, the day the tickets go on sale, I have to say, call that day. Don't wait.
You do it by calling.
We do it by calling. And it's a first come, first serve thesis, mm-hmm. and you know, we have board members who didn't call in time and aren't going. So.
Okay, so let's go to August 28th, the last Saturday.
So the August 28th is the Purple Loosestrife at Eagle Sanctuary, and actually our final event of the summer season, so to speak, is at the end of September, and that's National Estuaries Day. And Katie, how long have we been doing something for National Estuaries Day?
I believe this will be our fourth year of celebrating National Estuaries Day locally. And so over on the Nacanicum Estuary in Seaside, we host an event and explore the estuary, everything from plants and mud and critters and forest to having excellent speakers, whether they're authors or scientists. It's been a really fun event for all of us.
Sort of an all-day event. We have different field programs that go out to different parts of the estuary, and you know, you learn about, you know, beaver habitat, you learn about, you know, ancient tsunamis, you learn about geology, you learn about wildflowers, and all kinds of really cool stuff. We usually try to have some really cool hands-on program again for families with kids, kind of similar to the Mill Ponds Day, but out at the estuary. I think last year there was some exciting crab action
yes,
that happened, pulling live crabs out of the estuary. And we also have a barbecue that day out at the estuary. It's a lot of fun. It's a really great event. And so that's on September 25th, at the end of September.
Okay.
And that's a national day. I mean, that's something that's celebrated all over the country. And it's drawing attention to estuaries and the importance of estuaries in the ecosystems that they serve. And I think here on the coast, estuaries are really important. It's certainly one of the things that we focus on
Yes, we really look at estuaries as the heart and soul of the coastal watershed system. There's so much that has to come in the estuary. Everything has to go out through the estuary. It's just that interface between the land and the ocean. It's just so key to the coast and for inspiration and aesthetic reasons, and also for biodiversity and just the excitement of seeing tides come in and out and salmon riding the waves. And so it's certainly worthy of conservation and definitely worthy of celebration.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to let people know that Kate Brister is back, and she is our master gardener who fields gardening questions. So if you have a question, you can give her a call at 325-0010. I want to thank Gary in Astoria for his donation to this one-day pledge drive to raise money to up the wattage from 12 to 400 watts for KCPB, the Warrenton baby lit.
We certainly want to support you guys doing that. I mean, we fully understand about trying to reach your entire service area. That's something that we're working on. You know, our service area does run from Astoria all the way down to Lincoln City. Most of the land that we conserve is sort of up here in the, you know, the North Clatsop County area, but we do have lands down in Tillamook County and in further south, and we are working our way down there to try and connect with people there. We're doing a lot of outreach this summer. We're going to be at a lot of farmers markets. We're actually going to be at the Cannon Beach Farmers Market this afternoon. It's opening day of the Cannon Beach Farmers Market, and North Coast Land Conservancy is going to be there.
So when is the farmers market?
It's Cannon from Beach? 2 to 6, and we'll be handing out newsletters and talking to anybody that wants to come by and chat about land conservation on the North Coast. And it's... You know, it's. I think it's really important, and certainly I would encourage everybody to call in and support KMUN. This is such a great resource, and, you know, we understand about being a resource for the community. We're actually at the start of our own spring fundraising campaign ourselves, so fundraising is important, and I think it's, you know, one of those things that if you care about these things, you have to kind of pitch in and help as much as you can, and so certainly please call if you can.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, and if you, for instance, if you pay monthly, you know, you could bump it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, when you pay monthly a teeny amount, you'll hardly notice it.
Yeah. And I think it's that, it's also that part of it, something that we find at the Land Conservancy. It's part of being something bigger. When you contribute, mm-hmm. even if, you know, whatever you can afford, you become part of something much larger that can accomplish amazing things. I mean, the things that the Land Conservancy is able to accomplish on the coast, I mean, the goal really is working towards connectivity of the landscape. And trying to sort of connect the coastal ridgetops down to the ocean and making as many of those pathways connect for wildlife, for ecosystem function as possible is our goal. And that's, you know, so your contribution, you know, when you send us a donation becomes part of our ability to make that happen in as many ways as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a way that when we put our money together and our resources together, we can do things that as an individual you just can't do.
Exactly, yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, and having these stewardship days as well, you know, one person trying to go out and remove ivy from, you know, an entire forest is going to feel pretty discouraged. But when you get 20 or 30 mm-hmm. people together all pulling ivy together, it's a great thing. And at the end of the day, you look at this huge pile of ivy or scotch broom or purple loosestrife or whatever it is, and you can feel really proud of it and really see a difference mm-hmm. in the landscape.
Yeah, I think that's great. All right, are there any other things we should talk about event-wise?
Well, you know, I just say looking ahead to the winter, we do have a great partnership with the Nakanakum Watershed Council where we do a winter lecture series. It's on the third Wednesdays at the Seaside Public Library. And then we usually have some related field program to get people outside, even in the middle of winter. So look ahead for that schedule coming. We've certainly had some very wet field programs, but they've always been interesting.
Yeah, the true Oregonians, you know, don't let that rain get you down.
Not at all.
Now, I have a question. In your stewardship, do you use chemicals?
We have not yet ever used herbicides on our lands as a form of treatment. It's not something that we are necessarily opposed to, but we would always explore all other options first to see if there's a way to be able to remove or control the invasive species. And so far, we've been able to do that by hand or mechanical removal.
And this is an example of if a company, you know, a privately held corporation had to deal with 1,700 acres of land and plants they needed to get rid of or whatever, they wouldn't be able to draw on the workforce of the volunteers of all of us to help, and they would be very quickly moved to want to use chemicals, mm-hmm. where you have all of us, and can tap into your membership to get the people out there, because a lot of things are just, what's the quickest, easiest way to get from here to our goal?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, chemical, one guy in a truck or one guy in a plane. And
yeah, and it's such a great way, I mean, to really get out there and, as all gardeners know, get your hands in the dirt. You really get to connect with the land. And it's an opportunity that in modern times, I think we just don't have as many chances to do that. And so especially on those beautiful days to be out there with the birds and the bugs and everything else, even removing ivy can be a really fun thing.
Oh,
and
it
it's a great way
fun.
To connect.
It was very cool that on the north side of Astoria Middle School, mm-hmm. there's a whole swath, you know, from the parking lot all the way up to the apartments that's cleared of ivy,
mm-hmm.
except for the ground ivy, which I think we decided we're going to take out in the winter,
yeah,
or whatever, some other time.
Yeah.
But there's the whole, I mean, all around that school, you know, it's a serious ivy thing. Okay, let's do a very quick recap of the next event coming up.
So the next event coming up is on June 26th, and that'll be the ivy removal at the Skipanon. It's from 9 a.m. to noon, meeting at the Warrenton High School parking lot. And bring gloves and wear sturdy boots and dress appropriately for the day's weather. You might want to bring some water and, you know, a sack lunch if you want to stay. Usually there is a crew from, is it the Tongue Point crew?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great crew of kids from Job Corps that come out in the afternoons. And so if you wanted to stay...
bring
a lunch.
They
come in the afternoon.
Yes, they come.
So
they're our second wind.
So you could actually stay and remove ivy all day long if you wanted to.
Well, you know, after a long, although we felt, I mean, there was an option to go all day, and we were exhausted.
Yeah.
But maybe after doing it, we'd be stronger. We could do it for longer.
There we go.
I mean, your arms get very tired.
Mm-hmm. And I would, if people have any more interest in our events, they can always go to our website, which is www.nclctrust.org. We're also on Facebook, so you can look for us on Facebook and become our friend.
Oh, wow.
Or I think you have to become our fan now, or I can't remember what it is now. It's all so complicated. But one of those things.
Okay.
And so there's lots of ways to get in touch and stay connected. And certainly we can put you on our mailing list, send you newsletters. We have an email mailing list that we send out for announcements about events coming up. So there's mm-hmm. lots of different ways to stay in touch and find out what's happening in land conservation on the Oregon coast.
I think that's great. I mean, it's a great way to extend our gardening love out to the wild and participate in something beyond our own selfish little corner of the world.
Well, that also benefits your own garden because we are all part of a larger system, all working together. And I think the healthier the larger system is, the healthier all of our pieces of lands are.
Absolutely. That's great. Oh, I want to thank Jean and Gail and Kath Lamott, Washington, for calling with... support for the KCPB Pledge Drive. Thank you very much. I know them. And you have been listening to Digging the Dirt. My guests have been Katie Volke, the Executive Director of the North Coast Land Conservancy, and Teresa Retzloff, the Development Director at the North Coast Land Conservancy. Early next year, we should have you back and talk about next year's activities.
That would be great.
And thank you.